Mizmor Tes, we are in the middle. We are the Pasuk Yudalud Chonneni Hashem Re'ei Oni Mi Sonoi Miromimi Mi Sha'arei Moves Mitsudois David. Pasuk Yudalud Mitsudois David is found on the page Chonneni on page 79.
I know from where
I
took the extra noon.
Yeah.
You took it from the Ashrei.
Ooh. Semech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. Very interesting. Very interesting what you're saying.
Someone
says that. Very interesting.
He just said it.
Okay, Chonin 80.
It doesn't mention that because of your people. It's reminiscent of... We don't want to sing
the Neufel. Seveich Hashem l'chol ha'neuflim. Okay, so it says over here in Pasuk Gidal in the Mitzudas David, it says, Hashem, show me favor. Re'ei, see ani my affliction, me so neufel my enemy. Miroi mimi. What does it mean, miroi mimi? Haloi ato mi olam miroi mimi moisi. Miroi mimi in this form, you Hashem in the past have always lifted me up, mishare moves, and therefore it's within your power, it is certainly within your power to assist me. This is the theme of the Mitzudas David. He does this continuously over here, where he's using the end of the pasuk as an inspiration for us to move forward. Okay. Now I just want, okay, let's see Rashi pasuk Yudalit Chonineni Ato now Bagoyla. Now in the exile, Miramimeni Bigulascha, uplift me up high in your redemption. Lift me up in Gula. Okay, so that's a very basic idea. Let's go further. Okay, Pasuk, let's go. Let's try to go through the Pasuk, and then if we have time, we'll come back and we'll discuss some things later. Okay, one thing maybe we want to discuss right now is the word Hashem show me favor, Re'ei Onyi Mison Oy. The word Onyi, you know, we say with the Shemona Esrei, Re'ei no ve'onyenu. And who's not to say that what it says in Shemona Esrei, this is where it comes from. The rule is, every single word in davening, every single expression in davening is taken from Nach. It's not, the Chazal did not compose anything on their own. Everything that's in the Nusach HaTfilah, certainly from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, was taken from Nach. We have here a post that says, Re'ei onyi. Re'eino is obviously, this is something which is, and the Nusach says Re'eino v'onyenu, obviously there is over here, who's not to say that this is not the source of the Nusach of the Bracha, Re'eino v'onyenu. Re'eino v'onyenu, g'leinu meheru l'man shemecha, ki goel chazaga to the ge'ula. And in fact, if you look at over here in Rashi over here says exactly that. It says over here, bagoyla, and miramimi, b'ge'ulasicha, ge'ula. Okay, so, I mean, it's pretty clear, pretty obvious, it's going to Rashi. And it's pretty obvious that if Rashi over here is saying that, Baruch Atah Hashem, go Yisrael, we're discussing here Geula, and discussing Re'eino V'onyenu. I mean, one more could you possibly want that according to Rashi, this is the Makar for the Bracha. And what is interesting, though, is that no, people always ask this question, we discuss this a couple of times, is that we are in this Chatzilah, do you pray for Shaduchim? Everyone wants to know, why is it that if most people, that's on top of their mind is Shaduchim, for themselves, for their children, their grandchildren, for people they know, and they pray for Shaduchim, how come nowhere in the Nusach HaTfilah do we find any Baracha, anything explicitly asking Hashem for Shaduchim? So there are many answers to that question. And one of the very basic answers is that the bracha of Re'eino V'onyenu is in fact the bracha where we explicitly ask Hashem for Shaduchim. How do you know this? The Haggadah. Oh, it's not the Haggadah. The Haggadah emphasizes what it says. It says in the Haggadah, Vayar Hashem es onyenu. And what does it say there, es onyenu? Zu prishas derech eretz. Therefore, the word onyenu inui means a person that is alone. He's alone. He's parush from derech eretz, That's what it says. That's what Chazal Darshan, and that's what we emphasize in the Haggadah. It's exactly the same word. Thus, when you say in the bracha, "Re'eino ve'onyenu," Hashem, look at the fact that we today have the same problem. Perishus derech eretz, meaning people are having difficulty finding shidduchim. So it's explicit. The word "ve'onyenu" doesn't mean that we've been tortured. It doesn't mean that we've been tortured. That's pretty clear. The first make that clear that it means personal. Mishnah Berurah is very clear. It means personal affliction, something torment that a person is going through in his own personal life. And an example of that is, you know, shidduchim. Person is not successful in this matter. And now when you go back to this pasuk, Chonineni Hashem, show me favor, re'ei onyi mison oy. Now mison over here again. It says the word is a very powerful word. Mison means my enemies. Who are my enemies? You know, a person, you know, you one darshan, a person is his own worst enemy. That's a person holds back. Who's holding you back? No one's holding back. You're holding yourself back. A person, for my enemy, I'm my own worst enemy. Your own worst enemy. Elevate me from the gates of death. What do you mean, Mishari Mavis? Doiris. A person that has children lives on. He lives on in this world through his children. Now we can appreciate what it means over here. Chonineni. Chonineni is...
By the way, someday can refer to a lot of things.
Of course.
One of them being Yetzer Hara.
Of course. So there are many perushim. There are many perushim over here in this pasuk. The simple, as you see from Rashi. Rashi says that it's referring to Golos and Geula. That is a simple interpretation, but obviously there are many more interpretations. And when you go to the Nusach Atzvila, and we discover that many of the commentators, they say that the bracha Reina Vanyenu refers to a prayer for Shidduchim. And now we go backwards to this pasuk, which clearly is discussing one of the sources for that Nusach Atzvila. And you read into this pasuk Shidduchim, it becomes very interesting, because then when it says the Shari Mavis, purpose of shidduchim is to have children, to have a family, to have a family, and the family will be a person's. He'll live on. A person leaves this world. He has children, grandchildren. He lives on through his children, and so he's not going to die. And misoin oy, misoin means many people will tell you that in shidduchim, who's harming the people that have a problem. It's not, and this is not really nice to say, but people will say that you're doing it to yourself. You're holding yourself back. You're your own worst enemy. And now, the icing on the cake here is the word chonineni, a very unusual form of the word with three nuns, and it's almost as if al derech derush. There's chayin and there's chayin. There's a chayin. You like someone, and then you really like someone. I'll give you what do you mean? Many times you say, here's the shidduchim. You know, the person is incredible. If I was an employer, I wouldn't hesitate for one moment to hire this person to work for me. Or I would want to work for them. Either way, I would hire them, I'd work for them, I would trust them with my life. Would you marry them? No. No. Why not?
Chemistry.
Why not? Chemistry, that's the dividing line. I would give over the whole business to them. I would work for them. I would do anything. Why? I like them. They have chayin. You're a male, she's a female, or vice versa. So would you marry that person? No. That far I wouldn't go. So you need chayin for marriage. You don't just need chayin. You need chayin. You need chayin with a triple nun. Okay, you need an extra dosage of chayin. I have to be liked by other people. Other person has to like me enough; they'll want to marry me. Okay, it's not always many people. You know, the people that they want, they don't want them, and the ones that you want, they don't want you. You need over here this a shidduch of chayin.
Sounds like
Sheva Brachos. Sheva Brachos
Torah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm saying over here Sheva Brachos Torah. All right. Maybe. So be it. So be it, but going backwards, taking the pasuk Eidav Onyenu and taking this pasuk over here, I think we're going to find over here some very interesting ideas of shidduchim that are alluded to here in this pasuk. Let's go now to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Leman asapra kol tehilosecha b'shari v'asiyin agila b'shuasecha." So that I will declare asapra, I will speak all of your praises in the gates of v'asiyin agila. I will rejoice. Lashon of gila simcha ditzavichedva. I will rejoice in your salvation. So let's over here the mitzudos, the mitzudos David on this pasuk tes, no, there is no pasuk, well, this pasuk tes vav, there is no mitzudos David, and there is no Rashi either. Pasuk tes zayin, tavu goyim bashachas, the goyim have drowned in shachas, in the grave. I'm sorry. Tavu goyim ashachas asu. They drowned in the grave that they dug for themselves, in their own grave. Bereshazu tamanu. In this net tamanu, they have been put away. Like Lashon of Taman means to be hidden away. Nilkida raglam. Their legs have been trapped. Let's see the mitzudos David pasuk tezayin. Haman, he did it to himself. Heichin loy. Heichin loy, loy heichin.
The
Medrash there
describes Kriyas Yamtzuf is another part. and so on.
It's a Midah Keneged Midah. Midah Keneged Midah, right. Were they, Abakiva Dovar Asher Zodu Aleihem. The concept of Midah Keneged Midah, and exactly.
The would-be killers were killed. The would-be drowners were drowned.
And this is pretty obvious. Someone saw a skull floating on the Yam. Always the principle, there's a very basic fundamental principle, Yadus is Mida Kineged Mida. And here it says exactly this point over here is that the Tavu Goyim Ashachas Asu, the Goyim have drowned in the grave that they made for themselves. Bereshas Zu, and this net, Tamanu, they have been hidden. Nil Kudir Aglam, the legs have been caught. Loi Heichin. That's exactly what Kalman said. The Gemara just said it then. Asher Heichin Loi. Loi Heichin. Okay, let's see if we have pasuk to Zion in the Mitzvot David Bashachas the Habor Asher also Li Yisrael.
By the way, there's a
spoiler on pasuk Tezvav. Okay, the Lama Farshim over here.
No, you said there wasn't a Mitzvot David,
there wasn't a Mitzvot David,
there wasn't a Rashi.
I'm pasuk Tezvav.
Yeah.
Okay, what does it say? The Porno Tezvav. Tavu Goyim Bashachas Shasu. I have to read one pasuk.
Right.
Wait, Tas Pasik.
That's it.
Tezvav, Laman Asapra. Laman Asapra, Tavu, okay, goes into the next pasuk. Okay, they go together.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back. Again, go back to this pasuk over here. So Tavu Goyim Bashachas Asu, Goresh Zu, Tamanu, Nil, the Ragim Blaze have been caught, have been trapped. Let's see over here, what's in the Rashi. Rashi over here says, Tavu Goyim Zohi Hatihila Asher Asaper. According to Rashi, the words of the song are, in other words, Pasik Tezvav, David is announcing that he will sing a song. What is the nusach of the song that he will sing? What is the nusach? The nusach of it is Pasik Tezayin. Tavu goyim b'shachas asu b'resh zu, tamanu, milk, that is the song. This Pasik is the complete song. Zu yatihil asher asher asaper. Okay, next Pasik. Pasik Yudzayin. Next page, page 80. Noida Hashem Mishpat, it is known. Hashem makes it known. Mishpat osa. Hashem has done mishpat b'toel kapav no kesh rasha. In the actions of his hands, the rasha is caught. He goyoin sela. Now, what does that mean? Let's look at the mitzudos David on page. The mitzudos appears here on page 80. Okay, on page 80 it says, noida Hashem kesho oisa mishpat b'goyim osu noida u'befursam lakol. When? You have to read the words backwards. When Hashem is mishpat osa, when Hashem does a mishpat, then it's known, it becomes known to the entire world, Hashem's mishpat. One more time, Yud Zayin, Mitzvah is on the page 80. Kishoisa mishpat, noida Hashem, kishoisa mishpat bagoyim, osu noida ulufu osa makal, he becomes well known. Noi kesh rasha, kasher harasha yipol me'beha moi kesh, asher osa, when the rasha, he falls in his own trap, Oz ad oilam forever, yachshavu balev pirsa makom, it becomes known in the heart. Higoyoin. The word higoyoin is a very hard word to translate. Here he's translating it as is it's thought, basically thoughts, machashava. But what kind of thoughts? A penetrating thought. He's translating here the word selah to mean forever. And bepoel kapav nokesh rasha, which means when a rasha falls into his own trap, then people contemplate, they reflect upon this forever. So we break the pasuk into two parts according to the mitzvah stuff. It is telling us there are two different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known. He's known when Hashem does mishpat. Okay, when Hashem exercises mishpat, so the word goes out. It's on the cover of the New York Times that Hashem has declared guilty his these enemies. But when Hashem doesn't do anything, when there is no court of law, and the Rasha does himself in, obviously Hashem is doing that. Hashem is working behind the scenes. But when a Rasha does himself in, this type of mishpat, this type of justice, is far more impactful. It is far more penetrating. It makes a much greater impression upon the world than when you have the Nuremberg trials and you line all the people and you have testimony, guilty, 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 guilty. Okay, that's mishpat. Hashem's name goes out to the entire world, and that's important. It's extremely important. But the most powerful, impactful mishpat is when you do yourself in. When you have an administration, government.
How do you do yourself in? Overreach.
You overreach, but like, let's talk about politics.
I'm not only talking about that. Haman overreached.
Haman
overreached. Various villains overreached.
Yeah, but there he was, there to a certain degree, or he overreached. No one had to go do anything to Haman, right? No one had, let's use Haman as an example. Haman was not core. Haman planned genocide. He issued a decree, Lahashmid, Laharu, it's called the Minar Yad Zakin. It never happened that Haman was taken to a Nuremberg trial and the whole world put him in a glass box and witnesses came forward and testified and evidence was presented and the judges declared guilty. They didn't have to go and extract him from Argentina.
Okay, we get that.
What?
Yeah, we get that.
He did himself in. He's overreached, exactly what you said. He did himself in. It was hung, Asher Heichin Lo, on the same gallows that he prepared for Mordechai. He spent the whole night there getting ready to go execute Ham a Mordechai. Had everything all planned out. And right away, he overreached, and Achashverosh says, go hang him up. Go do to him what he planned to do to his enemies. Same with Paro. What do you mean with Paro?
What I mean is, okay, he was supposed to, the Jews were supposed to be in Shibun and Mitzrayim, but he overdid it. He overreached.
So you don't need a judge from the outside to step in and listen to evidence and then make decisions. You don't need that. You don't need to do that. Just the fact they do themselves in. And here this pasuk is revealed that when the person, a rasha, does himself in, the impact of this type of mishpat is everlasting. It's selah. He goyon. It remains in your mind. It remains in your thoughts.
It's also like Haman chashav belibo. Lemi yachpos hamelech
belibo. Belibo. Chashav belibo.
Lemi yachpos hamelech lasot yikar yoter mimeni. Oh, that's higayon. What Hashem said.
And it remains, like, you know, it's thought, it's machshava, it's machshava. What he planned to do to him. The hegyon libi lefnech, exactly. The thoughts of my heart. This is an everlasting mishpat. You know, people, they have to go look up. You go to court, you go take out the record books. Oh, look at that. In the year 1862, this person did this crime and this crime. And look at the mishpat. The mishpat was guilty. Does anyone know? Anyone care? Anyone remember? Zero. But when a rasha does himself in, People know about this for decades, for generations. People are still talking about it. The impression is everlasting. This is extremely powerful stuff. Noida Hashem mishpat osa. Hashem becomes well known when Hashem acts as a judge and he exercises mishpat. But if you really want to know the real mishpat, you know what the real mishpat is? You don't have to have it. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to have a judge, a trial, waste anyone's time. It's bepoal kapov no kesh rasha. When the rasha stumbles in his own work, in the work of his hands, in his own actions, like Haman, then it's not just noida Hashem. Hashem is known. It's higoyoin sela. It's thought about. People contemplate this form of mishpat forever. Look again over here. Yitzayim is over here. Let's look over here. Let's do this double one more time. Noida Hashem kishoisa mishpat bagoyim ozhu noida. Noidom for some lakol, noikesh rasha kesha kasher harasha yipova hamoikesh asha osa os ad oilam. That's the word sela. Yachshu balev. That is the higoyoin. Pirsim amokim. The recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yitzayin Noit Hashem. I call Zemin HaTehila. This Pasuk as well is part of the praise that David is singing. Noit Hashem Labriyos Ki Shalit Hu Moshel. It is known to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a ruler. Moshel V'Nokemu Oivav. He takes revenge against his enemies. Rabbi Mishpat Osa Bohem. He has done Mishpat. Hashem has done Mishpat. Noikesh Rasha.
Justice.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, look at that. Justice, okay. Noikesh Rasha, Kinichol Rasha, Higoyon, Nege, Zois, contemplate this seller. Nege, so he's, the word Higoyon, according to the Mitzvah stuff, is a command. According to Rashi, it appears that he said the word Higoyon means it's a command. According to the Mitzvah stuff, it's a fact. Yachshuvu balev, maybe not. Is lashon plural? Lashon also. Yachshu, think about this. Yachshuvu balev. We're going with them. Kesha rosh. I'm reading again the mitzvahs. Kesha rosh yipol behamai. Kesha also. Oz ad oilam. Then people know about it. Yachshuvu balev pirsum hamokam. It would seem that there might be possibly a disagreement between the mitzvah stav and Rashi as to the end of the pasuk. According to the mitzvah stav, it would appear that it's a statement of fact. That when the Rasha stumbles in his own trap, then the impact is eternal. According to Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, the word Higoyon Sela, it's a command. David is saying, think about this. Think about this, that when the Rasha, he gets caught in his own trap, it makes the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and I'm commanding you, reflect upon this. Could be there is a little slight difference. Same idea, obviously, but a little slight nuance of difference. Pasuk Yudches, Yashuv Rasham L'Sha'ila. May the wicked return to the grave. Kol Goyim, all, not only the Rasham, Kol Goyim, all of the Goyim, Shechechei Elokim. This is a very interesting idea. You know, each pasuk over here is a world to itself. Each one is like Mishle almost. Every pasuk is presenting the very, very deep concepts. Over here, first of all, it says the Rasham should return. What do you mean return? They were never there. What does it mean to return to the grave? What do you mean? A person comes into this world, he's not in the grave. You can't go give me Kabbalistic answers. You're a Gilgal, you know, your reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. Saddam Hussein was obsessed with Nebuchadnezzar. He considered himself to be the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar and talked a lot of things, a lot of similar things that happened to him. Yeah, I don't want to go down that path. Let's not go into the path of the mystics. Let's go down the derech. What do you mean yeshuvu? It's very simple. It's because Rishayim are called dead in their lifetime.
The walking dead.
So where does a person come from? Man is ofar min hu'adama. Man is earth. So a rasha, you are returning. That's when you're walking around the walking dead. What are you? You are a grave. It's just a mausoleum, a walking mausoleum. A rasha is a walking mausoleum. He's in a grave. He's a clump of earth. Because Adam is Afra Min Adam. What is a shol? Shol is the ground. What is the ground? It means earth. It means earth in the ground. You are earth in the ground that just happens to be walking around. But you're already in the grave. So when he dies, he's just returning to who he really is. Because nothing really has changed. I'm not saying it good, but let's look at the Mitzvah. Apostle Yudches. This word must be addressed. The word Yeshuvu Rishoim Lisha, return. What do you mean return? What are you returning to? A living person. Let's see what's in the Mitzvah. Pasuk Yudches. The Pasuk, I'm again on page 80, towards the bottom. Yeshuvu Lefi, Shasha'ol Lemucha Lechem Amar Lashon Yeshuvu.
What are you doing now?
Mitzudoy Stavit, Pasuk Yudches. The Mitzudois is obviously disturbed with the term of Yeshuva. What does it mean? So he explains, Lefi Shash Ol Muchan Lohem, being that the grave is prepared for them, they're wicked people. What?
Ready and waiting.
Omar Loshen Yeshuvu. Therefore, that is why this term has been selected, Ki Adam, similar to a person, Hashav El Beso, Hamuchan Leshifta, that is prepared for his dwelling. It's an expression. In the Tzuda stuff, it says, we got a problem. It does not appear to be the correct word. If you were in high school and you would write a sentence like this, the teacher would give you a C. You're not selecting the correct word. So we have to understand that it's an expression. It's not to be taken literally, being that the grave is prepared. When something is prepared, that's the way we talk. Adam hashav el beisay hamuchan l'shifto. Okay, it's prepared for his dwelling. It's not precise. He's apologizing. The mitzvah started. Rashi pasuk liutchas says l'shoyla amar minchemia kol teva hatsrich rahizu. Here he's going basic principle l'shoyla kol teva hatsrich lamed b'tchilasa heitelo hey b'soifa kimo kigoin mitzrayim. We want to say le. So you say so here we're done. Let's see mitzrayimo. It's like le mitzrayim, two mitzrayim. It's either one or the other. You only can have either you can have a lamed in the beginning, or you can have a hey at the end.
Oh right.
Right, only one or the other. Oh, now here that's not a problem because over here let's see. Okay, mid bara. So therefore there's no lam in the beginning. Therefore it really should be le midbar. Limit bar. So it's either a lamed in the beginning or a hey at the end. If you do have a lamed in the beginning, then you don't have a hey at the end. Either or. Okay, it's a style of language. Hasivun lay. The word hasivun lay. Now that's another example. Is that no?
They asked him
hasivut.
Hasivun lehoshiv, right? Hasivun le.
They asked him a question of Rabbi Nechemiah.
Okay. They asked him a question. Of Yachsiv in the pasuk Yeshuvu Rishon Lishoila. So they have both. This pasuk breaks the rule. If Rabbi Nechemiah makes a rule and he says that you have, it's one or the other. Either you can have a laman in the beginning or a hay at the end. Why then in this pasuk do we have both? Right. We have. It says Yeshuvu Rishoim Lish Oila. There's a lamed in the beginning, and there is a hey at the end. Either it should be Yeshuvu Rishoim Sheoila, or Yeshuvu Rishoim Lish Oil. So why in this pasuk do we have both the lamed and the hey? So Omar Rabbi Ababar Zavdi Le Lam Lamad Rega Hatachton Shel Shol. You're right. The reason why there's a double is to teach you to make a drasha. This is not grammar. This is a drasha. They're not going to just go to the grave. They're going to go to the lowest madrega. The lowest madrega. It's like someone answers the telephone and he says, hello, you have reached Gehenna. How may we direct your call? Please connect me with Madura 7. There are 7 levels Chazal say in Gehenna, right? So So which chamber would you like to be connected to? Chamber 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What?
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom. Which madrega? Like so and so.
We did this long ago, right? You said He said, you know, do they have email in Gehenna?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, hotmail.com.
Hotmail.com. Hotmail. Very cute. Very cute. Someone told me it was an MTJ. He saw this. He says, "Guy, no, they have payphones. I remember the payphones. I was an MTJ when I was a little kid. They have payphones." So he saw, and that was like the way you want to speak to Rav Moshe. They would call the payphone. So he saw one guy, and the people would call the payphones the whole day because they want to talk to this one, that one. Even I don't know today anymore, but they used to do that. So a guy picks up the phone, rings in the hall, picks up the phone, and goes, "Hello, you have reached the Yeshiva Shel Mata. How may we direct your call?" So you call over here, Gehenim, which Madrega? There are 7 levels. Not every level of Gehenim is the same. There's a lot of variety. It's like in a hotel. There are suites, and there are,
some like it hot.
Some like it hot, some like it, all different types. Is there a cold Gehenim? Is there a cold, there are all different types of...
Well, actually, on Shabbos, right?
Shabbos, they
it's another one of my ones. Shabbos is when Gehenim freezes over.
Gehenim freezes over. Interesting. So Omar Rebbe. So therefore, the word is making a drasha. The reason why we have here is a very unusual word. We have the word she'oila, l'she'oila, a lamid and a hey, and you don't need both. Only one is necessary. Why are there? Why are there two? The answer is to make it to emphasize that the rasha is not. You're not going to just go to the she'oil. He's going to go to the lemadrega hatachtoina shel she'oil. Okay, that's the first point to take note of the unusual word. We have already 2 unusual words today. We have the word choneneni, choneneni, 3 nuns, and now we come across another unusual word that breaks the rules of grammar, lish oilot, lamin and the hay. Next, now we go.
It reminds us what they said to Haman, kinafol tipol.
Repetition.
No, you'll fall even deeper.
Deeper, you're going to go down to the Madrega Hadachtoina.
Sip says the Canaan here, says on this Rashi, Ke'ilu Amar Lisha'ol, Shapiru Shol, Lisha'ol, Shel Sha'ol. You know how in an elevator you have L.
Sub basement.
LL.
Yeah, the sub basement. You go all the way down, very many different levels. Okay, here. Okay, the very, very low, and that's exactly what it's saying over here. You're right. We're going over here to the Madrega HaTachtoina. Let's 1 second over here. Okay, so back over here to the Rashi. Now he goes back and he focuses on the word Yeshuva. What is Yeshuvu? Liachas sheyetsu migehenem v'yamdu bedin. Oh, so here, Rashi here does not like what the Mitzvah said. He is not a fan of the imprecise usage of the word Yeshuvah, and he says it's something more precise. Umahu Yeshuvu li'achar she'yetzu migehenim v'yamdu badin. After they leave Gehenim, v'yamdu badin, v'yishayvu, and they're guilty, Yeshuvu l'madrega tachte shel Gehenim. So there's a process. He's teaching us of your secrets of what goes on in Gehenim after they leave Gehenim. And then they go back for din, and then they're sentenced a second time to a madrega tachtis shel gehenim. Now this is obviously something very, very deep, and we have no understanding of what this means, because no one ever came back to tell us what goes on over there. And it says over here that gehenim is a very complicated process. Gehenim, what is gehenim? No one knows what gehenim is, but here is an insight from Chazal, is that after a person is in Gehenna for a period of time, he's brought back for another mishpat. Maybe to determine if the person was successful.
There's the concept of Yom HaDin after a person dies, and then there's the Yom HaDin
HaGadol.
Afterwards, when all the Tzeilodais of all his Maisim are brought.
Okay, so you said there are different iterations.
So
of Gehenna.
He's taken out of Gehenna after the 12.
But he's going to return. There's the payros of what he's done. So if you go and you collect, that's what some of these, like a lot of these swarm today, they make a safe on an esoteric topic. And they just collect my Mori Chazal like this, or showing them like this, to try to get a little bit more of an appreciation of what these things are, even though no one would be a fool. I'd be a fool to think anyone can understand what anything is like this. But it does give you a little deep appreciation, is that it's not just, okay, person in Naver, you go to Gehenna, you're there for 12 months, you come out, you go to Gan Eden, everything is fine and forgiven. No, that's not the way it goes. after a person is a Gehenim, there's going to be another judgment. Okay, Rabbi Mintz is saying the judgment is Yom HaDin, saying differentiating between the different days of Mishpat. A person is judged many, many times. He's judged every single day. He's judged once a month. He's judged once a year. He's judged at the end of his life. He's judged after he's judged and Chiyas HaMeisim. He's judged at the Yom HaDin HaGadol, at the end of days. Many, many iterations of Din. But maybe even in Gehenna Mitzvah, like Lulash, the person takes medicine. You go back to the doctor. Let's see if the medicine's working. Person has some type of illness, you take medicine. We have to go and do an analysis to see where you're holding now. Do some blood tests, see where you're holding. So a person goes to Gehenna. One thing is very clear. Gehenna is not just punishment. Gehenna is a correction facility. And Chazal make it very clear that you have to be zoiche to go to Gehenna. A person that's not
rehab.
You have to be zoiche to go there. There are many. It's the Chazal that the person leaves this world, and the evil is very, very, very intense. He's not allowed entrance into Gehenna. So what does his neshama do? It just flies around nowhere. It floats around. It just flies around in the middle of nowhere, and it's tormented by what they call malachi chavala. I don't know what these things are, but that's what it says. And people are literally dying to get into Gehenna. Why? Because Gehenna is a rehab center.
There's so many conflicting
ideas
about this. Like Abraham stands at the
Pesach Shel Gehenna
and turns away the
those are the Bris Mila.
Milah.
The Bach, it's a very famous one. Are people here Makbir on Chodosh? Probably most people are not. Today, in the kashrus industry, you know, it's a nice thing, another little feather in your hat, that we only use kemach yoshan. For generations, most bakeries, no one even heard of it. No one was makbid on it. No one was makbid in chutz l'aretz. Only in Eretz Yisrael is there a din of chodosh in chutz l'aretz. We're not makbid. Who passed like this? The Bach.
What the reasons they say was that
there are many reasons.
All the wheat went to Russia.
That's in America. That was in America.
Now that they gave all the wheat to Russia,
now it's a problem.
The Polish study started to use it. That's when it.
But in Europe,
any growth.
Let's talk pre-America, they're not makbid for many different reasons. They're not makbid on it.
So today
it became, who's the one that paskin that you don't have to be makbid on it? The Bach. And now a lot of people say, the Bach is a Das Yochid. I'll show you lists of Rishonim, Achronim, and holds that in Chutz Li'aretz, you have to be makbid on Chodosh. So some of the people, they responded, you know, there's a legend. The legend is that when the Bach died, you know what's the Gemara? There's the Bach. When the Bach died, and he came to Shemayim, in his honor, they let out the whole Gehenna. The whole Gehenna out in the honor of the Bach. Everyone is forgiven because the Bach has arrived in Shemayim. If the whole Gehenna was released in honor of his Bach, he's good enough for me to rely upon him. I can eat. I don't have to be makbid in chutz l'aretz on chodosh, on yasha. What does that mean exactly? Someone arrives in Shemayim, murderers, criminals. They let him loose. People. What does that mean exactly? What does that mean exactly? How do you understand this legend?
They got everyone out.
Mishpat. How?
The police and let everyone out.
How do you understand this legend? They're going to defund Gehenna. I have a campaign to defund Gehenna. So you see what happens in America when you defund the police. Okay, all the looting is now out of control. Now even everyone saw that the IRS has issued statements. That if you stole, if you're a ganav, you have to report what you stole for your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is just
the people
literally,
are trying to return to the stores,
literally
they,
not
they
to be
spend.
Believed,
oh, yeah.
Living
yeah.
in a country where the IRS can issue such an instructions on a tax return. It's literally not to be believed that's where we've come to with such an approach. such an approach. I was thinking this morning, you know, talking about, you know, diversity. I was talking to them yesterday, telling me what's going on in their company. It's like the only let to hire blacks, only let to hire the craziest mishugot, no matter what.
Question.
And anyone that's white is a criminal. And the people that are hiring literally know nothing. Zero. They're destroying the country. Can you imagine, to get into medical school, if you're black,
yeah.
and you have no brains, so then you can become a surgeon. Could you imagine what kind of surgeon they'll open up people, kill them on the spot? And the people that have the brains, the qualified, no, you're disqualified because you're a white male. It's really fly an airplane. No, the only one that we're taking to train are people who have zero intelligence, but their skin color. We need to check off those marks. I would say, look at Yosef. Look at Mitzrayim. There was an opening in Egypt for a Mishnah Lamelech. So who did they take? They checked off every single box. He was a minority. He was a slave. He was in the Ivory. He was a victim. He was a slave. He was a minority. You know, his skin color. The Egyptians, they had dark colored skin. He had light colored skin. You name it. Yosef had every single problem against him. Perfect. He would, in America, he would have been elevated to the president of the United States. Right. Yeah. But what did Paro say? Paro made a very powerful statement. I'm not taking you because you're a slave, you're a skin color, because you're a victim, because you did this and this. You know what I'm taking you? A novoin v'chocham kamoicha. Let no one make a mistake and think, the reason why you're getting this job is because you're a minority.
Yeah, that would be the...
It's because of merit. Let the whole world know the reason why you're getting this job is merit. Ein novoin v'chochon kamoicha. Paro didn't say, I'm giving you the job because you're a minority.
It's because of Vishagas, you know.
Ein novoin v'chochon kamoicha. Hey, no, I have not yet heard in America when they check off all the boxes and give people, the reason why we're giving these people jobs is because they're the smartest and the best. I've never heard that all these years. Today it's out of hand. They say openly, we have to give opportunity to minorities in America, give opportunities. That's what they say. You've never heard it's because they're the smartest and they're the most qualified. Never. Because they're obviously not the smartest and they're not the most qualified. It's only because of the minority. And in the Torah, you see even in a Goyish society of Mitzrayim, who you had a person that's all the chasroinis, and the reason why he got the job was because of merit. Why you have to be ashamed to give a person a job because of merit? I really don't understand. Why do you have to be ashamed to use the term merit? Doesn't make sense to me. I really don't get it. I say a lot of things. Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of weak points for a lot of, you know, a lot of these crazy things that go on out there.
It's the black left the agenda.
Look, the Democrats gave us Social Security. They gave us health care. They gave us food stamps. Like I know someone now. I know someone who's literally, they say about him he's a billionaire. They say about him. Well, I don't know. They say about him. And I heard him talk, and he says, you know, I have a lot of sympathy. When I was a kid, we grew up on food stamps. My parents didn't have a penny to the name. We had food stamps. We grew up on food stamps. You know, so when I hear about, you know, the Republicans, I have a weakness. I have a karsatov. I would not have been able to be where I am today if not for the fact that the government helped me out of it. I know all the corruption. Corruption, but I still can't take out of my soul a weakness because I was a recipient of all of this and I was able to...
Wait till they go after...
Okay, I'm not just saying, you're right, everything is you're right, but everything... All right, let's go back to our pasuk, we get sidetracked, let's go further, okay, no more. Let's go. Yeshuvu, we got into this because I told you about the Bach and Gehen. Yeshuvu Risham
L'Sha'ilam. What made him so great?
What? The Bach, I guess is piety. At the end of the day, it's not your Chochmah and Torah, it's your righteousness, it's your Yirah Shemayim. That's always at the end of the day what it comes down to. At the end of the day, it comes down to being a Yoreh Shemayim. Every time you have an opportunity in Avera, and no one's watching, no one knows, no one cares, and you behave in a way that is correct, l'shem shamayim, that's where you earn points. If you have brains, that's not your. Hashem gave you the brains. Hashem gave you the money. It all comes down at the end of the day to be a good person, to be humble. Don't abuse people. Don't push them around. Don't exercise your power. Yirei Shamayim, that's the ikar. The ikar is always to be a Yirei Shamayim. That's where all the points are scored. I'm assuming that it would not be like that. Now, the Bach was a Yirei Shamayim. Now let's go back. We spoke about Gehenna. Gehenna is something that is very esoteric, which I know nothing about. Not yet. Well, they say, I told you many, many times, Lakewood is like, I heard from a very Talmachacha. Lakewood is like Gehenna. Eventually, everyone ends up there. So Gehenna, Chazal say that Gehenna is a rehab center. That's a very important point. It's a rehab center. There are activities in Gehenna to purge oneself. You don't just sit around in the fire in the sauna the whole day. You don't sit down. The Schwitz. I'm going out to the Schwitz. So you do the whole day in Gehenna. Gehenna, there are classes. There are seminars. There are exercises. There's therapy. And it's not always so pleasant. You know, you go to the Burr Park Center in Flatbush and you go there during, now they don't let you go anymore. I mean, they let you, they do let you go. I take it back a bit. But I don't, during the therapy sessions. So the people they're doing therapy. It's painful. They're doing therapy. It's very painful. They have to do exercise to get better. And not everyone, you know, it's painful. That's so in Gehenna, same thing. They have therapy, and it's painful. That's the pain of Gehenna. But it's a zechus to get into Gehenna. Because if you don't get into Gehenna, where are you? You're on the street. You're right on the street. And there, you're just suffering as a homeless person with nowhere to go, and you're a victim, you're subject to the elements. You know, I went to my mommy's, not long ago to this one. So I go into the Burr Park Center where they do therapy. And there are people that are suffering there doing the therapy. Then I walk out, I wanted to go to the hospital, to someone in the hospital. And as I walk out, there's a homeless guy lying there, all spread out right in front of the hospital with a big shmata. And you can see, you know, all the trimmings and trappings of a homeless person. And he's obviously suffering. And then I go into the hospital and I see some people there that are really, really suffering. And I say to myself, look at this. Got three different types of people that are suffering here. Namas within Dalet Amos. People in the Burr Park Center, they're suffering doing therapy. When the doctor, the therapist, okay, pick this up. I can't. My arm doesn't work. Well, we're going to get it to work. Do your best. And the guy picks up the bar. He screams, it hurts. That's right, it's supposed to hurt. But if you're not going to get it to hurt, you're not going to get your power back, you're not going to get your muscles back working. So this guy in the Burr Park Center is suffering, in the suffering. Then I see a guy, it's a freezing cold night, he's a homeless person, mamish, a homeless person, and he's sitting there freezing cold. He's also suffering. And then you keep on going, walk into the doors of the hospital, go up there to one of the rooms there, and you look at the people there, and oy gaval, look what's going on over here. These people are dying. These people are very, very sick. They're also suffering. Three different types of people that are suffering. Tell me, which one suffers the most? The homeless guy. You know why? Because there's no plan for him. He has no hope altogether. Because he's lost. He's just a wanderer. The guy in the hospital, the one in the hospital, he's in a very difficult state of suffering. He's very, very sick, and they're trying to. The one that's in the Burr Park Center, he's the best. He already went through the whatever they did in the hospital. Now what he's doing is the therapy to restore him. So it's like this world is the hospital. the homeless people, that's the waiting room for Gehenna. That's what Chazal say. People that are rejected, your insurance doesn't cover the Burr Park Center. And so the Burr Park Center is the therapy what gets you back home. You know, it gets you, people that are in the house, they have to, you know, they're sick, they have to just wait it out. I mean, yeah, they do, obviously, they do different things in the house with different people. But it's like, that's where the person just has to, okay, I'm suffering, but there's a plan. After that, then you go, you do the therapy, and you know, you get better. But people that are just wanderers, people that are just suffer, and there's no plan to get go anywhere, that's the worst. To get Gehenim is like what Chazal seemed to say, it's like a rehab center. And after you get out of Gehenim, you graduate, you go to Gan Eden. But before a person gets into Gehenim, he's a floater. He's a homeless guy in the next world, that's what it says. And all these spooky books, they tell you that these neshamos, they're tormented by Malachi Chavola. In the rehab center, they don't allow in the Malachi Chavola. There are no Malachi Chavola that are allowed entrance as visitors into the rehab center. Outside in the street is where the Malachi Chavola attack and torment people.
Can they work their way up?
Who?
The ones who are really out of Gehenna.
That's the goal. The goal, that's...
They can work their way into Gehenna?
Yes, Hashem...
How do they work their way into Gehenna?
Hashem has a cheshire into everything. Obviously, okay. That's what it says in the... Listen, I told you. Well, I don't remember what happened to me in my last go-go. I can't tell you. I don't remember. And I have no idea. I'm just saying you, telling you words. I'm telling you words, what it says in these storybooks.
Very weird.
What it says in these storybooks. But you know, you get a sense. This is what Chazal are telling you. Obviously, it's a different world. You can't comprehend how these things work. But in the Mishalim that we could appreciate in this world, this is what it says. Person, Hashem, obviously has a calculation for every single neshama. And if a neshama, Rachmana Litzlan, has done damage to itself to a very significant degree, it's not allowed entry into the rehab center. They only take in Gan Eden neshamas that are cleansed. And to get into Gan Eden, there has to be a purification process. And that purification process is done with a lot of cheshbonos and calculation and therapy and all the different mishalim that we can find in this world to appreciate that principle. And sometimes in the neshama, they don't accept the person. They don't want the person because he's not ready. It's not ready for it. So he has to just roam around the world in a way, in a holding position, which is very unpleasant. It's a very unpleasant place to be. What? I don't know anything. What I told you already, I don't know. I don't know how. This is what it says. So why are we learning this? Because over here, there's an allusion to such type of very mystical concepts in this Rashi. In this part, it's a very difficult pasuk. The pasuk over here says Yeshuvu. They're going to return. What are they going to return? Yeshuvu Risham L'Sha'ilo. What are you talking about? So in the Mitzvah stuff, it says, don't get bothered. Don't get worked up. It's just a poetic expression. It doesn't mean anything literal. A Rasha goes to Gehenim. He will go to Gehenim. Why does it say the word he will return? Poetry. A person, Gehenim is prepared for him. So something that is a Mukhan, you say, you return to what is prepared for you. Don't get worked up over here. Don't chap me on precise translations. Rashi says, no. I want here a precise translation. The word Yeshuva means return. And Rashi goes into very dangerous waters. And he says, you don't know what Gehenim is. If you knew what Gehenim is, you would understand what it means Yeshuva. It means you go to Gehenim, and then after a period of time, they take you to a Din Torah. They take you, I remember I was so frightened. You're a little kid, you don't see that. I once went to a hospital. A little kid. I actually went there to a doctor. And I saw there walking around a guy in an orange shirt, all dressed up, with mamish chains on his feet and chains on his arms, walking around, escorted by a policeman. And obviously, this guy was taken from a prison, a high security prison. He's sick. And I guess the medical facility in the prison was not able to treat him. They didn't have, and they had to send him to the hospital to be treated. So the guy's like, well, guy's dressed up in the whole costume, walking around, chained on his feet and on his arms, and a big guy, and there was a policeman escorting him. So it's like in Gehenna. They take you out of Gehenna, you leave the prison, they take you to court. And they say, they do an analysis. Have you been purged? Have you been purged from your sins? And guess what? No, you've not. We'd send you back. We're going to send you back for another session, another process. There's a lot going on over there. It's not like they make it look like in the comic books. You're sitting there in the sauna, in the schwitz, and it's the person being purged. It's not so simple what goes on in these places. Okay, let's.
By the people who got your mark,
what?
Completely obliterated.
I have no idea. I really don't know. I have no idea. I make believe I know this stuff. What do I know? We're just reading the Rashi. Rashi says it. Mi'ashi mahu yoshuvu la'achar sheyetsu mi gehinom v'yamdu badin v'yischayvu. They're guilty. Yoshuvu. They're going to return. And here he is in l'madrega tachtis. What does that mean? Madrega tachtis shal gehenim. If we knew what Gehenim was, we would know exactly what Rashi is referring to. And Rashi says, don't look like the Mitsudois that want to just, you know, gloss over this word Yeshuvu. No. Take it literally. Take it very literally. Even though Rashi was the one that himself said a few psukim ago, this is just poetry here. Don't get caught up. Here he's not saying it's not poetry. This is serious business. Okay, so we literally have two very incredible principles over here in this passage.
The answer was for Mishola.
Yeah.
Again
the Madrega Tachtoina.
And then Mishola.
The Madrega Tachtoina. The Lamed and the Hei.
So you don't know.
It wasn't a Jewish. I remember you like this Jewish very much. Is that a word that you're supposed to put a Lamed in the beginning, put a Hei at the end. What's the Jewish? The Jewish is that... Better less said than more. If you don't need to say something, don't say it. Because why is there a principle to begin with that word that really should have a lamed in the beginning? Don't have a lamed. Put instead a hey at the end. Why? Because mila b'sela shtikusa b'trein. Less is more. Why should you express a syllable now, right now, say very little. Later, if you need to fill in, you'll fill in. You'll add the hey at the end. So when you have both, a very unusual expression, you have a lamed in the beginning, and hey at the end. It just represents a full dosage. Okay, I don't know. Okay, that's not a good thought. Let's go further. Another pasuk. Pasuk yutes. Now, no one over here, by the way, no one over here, at least none of them, this isn't the Rashi, we have to move forward, maybe another time.
If I may, take a look at the Sif Zakenim Gimel.
Okay, Perish Rashi, I think Rachel pointed it out. Perish Rashi, the Madrega Tachtoina Shal Shaol, Vuhu Atzma Losh Namib Rabba. Vuhu Perish Shom Bal Yifei Mari B'Shem Haram. This is the Rambam, maybe? Vizel Shoina, Kilu Amal Le. Lishol. Shep, put the two lamas in the beginning. In other words, the hey at the end, Shep Rushoi, Lishol Shel Shol. So the hey at the end demands that we put a lamed in the beginning, which results in two lamas. Le Lishol. What's Le Lishol? To the Le Lishol, Shep Rushoi, Lishol Shel Shol. The chavanasa shdech lidro shamila im haribui vumavor ladiyoita hatachtayna adkan l'shonai v'kal l'hav. Easy to understand. For you, it's easy to understand. Not for me. Okay, let's.
What Kalman was saying, actually.
Right, do it. Let's. Look, why don't we look at over here at the Likutei Shas on the bottom on this pasuk. Look at the Likutei Shas. This thing keeps on falling off. Okay. I don't know why this thing keeps on falling off. One second. One moment. Put this over here. Put this back on.
You can understand it in prison. There is a prison and there is a prison.
The prison of the prison. The bad people in the prison.
Solitary
confinement. They stopped in New York. They stopped doing that. They have no more de Blasio. How many days left? One day. he has one of his policies. No more solitary confinement. For anyone. And Adam and the new one coming in, he says, no, we're going back to solitary confinement. Only one more day, no more solitary confinement.
How do you punish someone who's in prison?
What?
How do you punish someone who's already in prison?
Why would you want to punish someone? Why would you want to punish someone in prison? Prison is to be a hotel in this country. It's a hotel. All expenses paid. Let's look at the Mar Chazal. Look at the bar, page 80. Yashuvu Rishoyim Lishoilo Kolgoyim Shekhi Lukim Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. Okay, Rabbi, again, page 80 in the very, very bottom, the Likute Shas. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Yashuvu Shom Lishoilo Kolgoyim Shekhi, Yashuvu Shom Lishoilo Elu Poshe Yisrael. Who are the Rishoyim? So the Maim Chazal says the Jews, Mayor is here. Mayor has arrived.
I just tested positive for COVID.
Goody, and we were with you last night.
Okay.
What? Mayor, don't worry, you'll be okay.
I'll be okay. I just had a sore throat. But anyone who's been in contact, I must have had it yesterday also because I woke up with a sore throat.
Why do we have to say out of this? Have you had it this morning? It's like a Sefer Torah. You got it right now this morning.
Gave him a ride home.
All right, don't worry. In this country, yesterday they were tested positive. About 360,000 people were tested positive yesterday for COVID in the United States of America. There was more people tested positive yesterday than the entire.
He said he has 100 patients in a day.
Yeah, so ask him.
If you get tested, you'll be positive. Yeah.
Ask him how he's feeling. Never mind.
How are you feeling?
I have a sore throat.
Oh, big deal.
And
okay.
I have a
98.7.
Big deal.
What are you supposed to?
98.6 is 62.
Well, he's never normal.
Wait a minute. You have a 98.7. You said?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to have? 98.6.
That's normal.
Anything under like 99.
What? 98. That's called a fever. 98.7. When the no average is 98.6, you gotta be joking.
I'm a cold.
You gotta be joking. That's called a fever. 98.7.
No, not at all.
So what do you tell me? You have fever? You're not fever.
Okay.
You should feel good. Should be refuah shleima.
Okay.
Refuah shleima.
He wasn't cold yesterday. He didn't want to recognize the school bear veterans.
Listen, if 380,000 people were tested positive in one day,
more than what? More than
in one day, more people were tested positive in one day than almost a year's worth. Something doesn't make sense. None of my business. Every time I open my mouth, I get shut down. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. You're the 12th person who told me within 48 hours that I'm positive for COVID. The 12th, I'm keeping count. If I'll get tested, I'll be positive for sure. For sure. Just get tested. You get tested, be positive. Vital, let's learn Vital. Rabbi Sai, page 80. Pasuk Yud Ches says, Yeshuvu Rishoyim L'Sho'ilo Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yeshuvu Rishoyim L'Sho'ilo Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim, Yeshuvu Rishoyim L'Sho'ilo Elu Poshe Yisrael. Frightening. Who are the Rishoyim that are going to return again? These are Jews. The Poshe Yisrael. Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim. The reading of Mamar Chazal, page 80 on the very bottom, the Likutei Shas. The Likutei Shas, Yeshuv Shem L'Sholah Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim, Yeshuv Shem L'Sholah Elu Peshei Yisrael, Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim, Kol Elu Oivdei Kochav Megoyim, Keloima Shekol Hanachim Yordim L'Sho'ol Kimoy Peshei Yisrael. Who says this? Div Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says an incredible Chiddush, that the Goyim, Azoiche, now I'm saying, listen to the words, merit Gehenim. That's pretty good. Like I told you, Gehenim is a rehabilitation center. And for a goy,
where did it say Zoche?
I said the word Zoche. I'm telling you, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Gentiles are going to merit Gehenim. Div Rabbi Eliezer. Omar Rabbi Yoshua, v'chi nemar kichol goyim, v'haloi loy nemar elo kol goyim shechechi elokim. According to what Rabbi Eliezer seems to say is to make a comparison. Is that the Poishe Yisrael, the sinners of the Jewish people will go to Gehenim just like all of the goyim that will go to Gehenna. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. Doesn't say kichol. All it says is, I'm going to be sure that Luvachin and Aki Chol Goyim, Halo Nemar Ella, Chol Goyim, Shechechi Elokim. So there's something wrong. So what then does it mean? Ella, Rabbi Yeshua says, Kach Perish Apostle. Yoshuvu Rishoim Lishoila. Who are these Rishoim? Not the Poshe Yisrael. The Pasuk then is coming to define. That's a Perish Rashi. The Pasuk is giving a Perish Rashi on itself. Man Ninu. Mihem Rishon Elu. The answer is Kol Goyim Shechei Elokim. Shadavka Goyim, Davka the Goyim are who are the Shechei Elokim. Davka the Goyim who are the Shechei Elokim.
He's qualifying
it. Yeshuvu Lishoilo, they will go to him. So the question over here is, it comes out we have a machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, and the question over here is, is it all the old Jews? Also, the other nachmin is that the poshei.
There's a default position for Jews and there's a default position for goyim. The exceptions among the Jews are the poshim, the rishoy. The exceptions among the goyim are the ones. No,
that's
are
only according to Rabbi Eliezer.
Yes,
according
okay.
to Rabbi Yeshua, we are not addressing the Jews at all. According to Rabbi Yeshua, this pasuk is not discussing Jews at all. All it says in the pasuk, Yeshuv Rishon L'Shoy. Who are these Rishon that are going? Who are they? Who are the Goyim? Look at again. Look at the words. The bottom of page 80. All my Lord Rabbi Yeshuv V'chi Nemer K'chol Agoyim Haloy Nemer Elo Kol Goyim Shchini Elokim Elo. What is Kachor Yesh Pasuk? Yeshuvu Rishoim L'Shoy Lo. Maninhu. Who are these Rishoim? Maninhu. Mihem Rishon Elo. Kol Goyim Shchichei Elokim. Shedavka goyim shechei elokim yeshuvu l'shoila. What about the poshe Yisrael? There is no mention of this at all in this particular pasuk. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when the beginning of the pasuk is describing the poshe Yisrael, and they will go to Gehenim just like kol goyim. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the scope, the admissions for the goyim. For Gehenna is much greater. It's much, much more. There are many more people who are admitted, including the Poshe Yisrael, according to Rabbi Eliez, according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Pasuk is not discussing the Poshe Yisrael. What happens to them? I don't know. It doesn't say here, but that's not the subject of the Pasuk. Okay, the next one, Mar Chazal.
It's interesting that it says
God
forsaken,
past,
forgotten. Go to Sheol and stay there forever.
I don't say that. I don't think it says that. It's a term. It's defining who are the goyim. The goyim are people who have forgotten God.
He's putting a twist on it.
You're saying a drush is that now you're saying a drush. You're saying go to him and Hashem is going to forget about you. He's going to forget about you. He'll stay there forever. You know, even hashkafically, I think that's Hashem doesn't forget. I mean, to say ki ain shicha lefnei chisech v'dach. You forgot. I don't know, this is a hashkafic thing to say like this. Hashem punishes. There's mishpat. There's justice. There's reward. To say that Hashem forgets, Hashem makes himself forget, when it comes to even a goy, Hashem's creature, that's a very...
But what he's suggesting, that for these multitudes, that they are eternally in Gehenna, that is contradicted by the Gemara, that limits it to only a few, even among the goyim, only three exceptions get it eternally. So.
Hashem did not create people that they should suffer. There's no such, even a guy, even the lowest of the law. Hashem, everything that Hashem created, our Muna is, Olam Chesed Yibane. You'll tell me that today there are 8 billion people in this world, and the vast majority of them, they don't care, they don't know, they don't want to know. They're religious, they're not religious, they believe what they believe. To say that all of them just, when it's over, they go to Gehenna and they suffer. You can't. I don't think you can say that. That's not our emuna. That's not our emuna. Hashem did not create a world and people that they should suffer. Every person, their madrega, Hashem gave them a mission, a purpose, and whatever their purpose is, At the end, they will be rewarded. Hashem will give them what they're supposed to get. For Klal Yisrael, it's in a completely different league. What does all that mean? No one in this world can tell us what that means. That's all part of what it means to have Emunah. But to say that people are going to suffer, that's a Goyisha type. I think that's a Christian philosophy. Christian philosophy is you come into this world to go to Gehenna. It's unbelievable. What kind of religion is that? What kind of garbage is that? It's a garbage religion. I mean, they'll come kill me for saying this. To go say that God created a world and you should go to Gehenna and you should suffer. God is an evil genius. And the only way you can get out of your suffering is to redemption and to believe, to redeem your soul by believing in this guy who preaches and their idol and their this and their that. Come on, I mean, that kind of approach is a very horrible thing to do to God. To say lashon, to go make God into an evil creature. That's really what Christianity is all about. If the default is you're here to go to Gehenna, unless you absolve yourself by committing yourself to this person to be saved, who's a total phony and baloney. I mean, what kind of religion is this?
I said it only because of the next pasuk.
Okay.
Because Lola Netzach Yishachach.
Yishachach.
Evyon is not Yishachach. Tikvat Anim Kaved. No. Etzel Aniim, it's not Kacha. But Etzel Reshaim, Ken. Hashem can. We'll forget them.
Okay.
Before we get to the
point of view of the
Rebbe,
I'm not talking about Hashem.
I'd like to say here, there's a difference between the word Gehenna and Sha'ol. There's different words, Gehenna and Sha'ol. I would like to suggest maybe the Gehenna is rehab, and Sha'ol is like actually coming and saying, forget about it, you're there.
I hear. I hear what you're
saying. Forever.
You're saying the very same. They're not the same. Okay, our boys, it's late. We're going to stop over here. We'll take a short break. And then we're going to learn. We're going to learn something else afterwards.
I never learned that was the goal. That recognition.